And we also, our mind likes to go to the future, make plans. The art is to bring the mind into the present moment. This is where genuine spiritual life takes place. This is where kirtan takes place. And this is what the mantra does in all seriousness. However, it helps you to be present if you take, here comes a difficult English word, your human endowments and bring them to the present. What is a human endowment? I realize many of you are like me. We have English as our second language, and therefore we may not know what a human endowment is. It is a gift. It is what you have at the present, and to engage that in the now. There are three things which each human being has as a human endowment. You are born with it. It's given to you. You have not made any endeavor, at least not any conscious endeavor, to have it. It's you're equipped with it. It's your natural instruments. It's your body. It is your mind. And it is your heart. With heart, we mean here not the pump. That belongs to the body, not this organ. With heart, I also don't mean the thinking heart. That's the mind. What I mean with heart here is the seat of emotions, which is so important for us as human beings, which are quite distinguished from our mind. The emotions are distinguished from our mind and also our body, although they are present in everything. You know, the emotions describe when you have negative emotions, your body somehow stores the negativity and becomes unhealthy. But because I wish to practice with these three human endowments and want to teach you how to do it, I will just put them into different categories. So if you wish to be fully present in the moment, and then again, fully present next moment, you will have to take the body, the mind, and your heart and put them into alignment. Another difficult word. Alignment means you put them in an order so that they can work together. Think of a sports car if you want to understand alignment. There are wheels, there are the gears, and there are the cylinders, the tank, etc. When all this works together, when the wheels are at the car, when they somehow are connected to the gears and the motor with its cylinder, and when the tank is also not somewhere on the car graveyard, but is stuck in that car, then they can all work together and bring about what we have a car for, the locomotion. It can move forward. If the wheels are not connected with the car, you can go rum, 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 and not move 1 meter. Yeah. Or let us say the motor with its cylinders is somewhere else, in the garage still, then your car can't go. They all need to be interconnected with each other, and then they can work and bring you forward with speed. This is alignment. The body needs to be aligned. The mind needs to be aligned. The heart needs to be aligned. When I'm chanting kirtan and my mind is somewhere else, then what will the kirtan be? I have a friend who is a kirtan leader. Some of you will know him, Krishna Das. He has a very deep voice, and he always makes fun about this. When he came and learned kirtan in the ashram, in an ashram in the Himalayas, in Kanchi, then he had just broken up with his girlfriend. So he sang kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, thinking of his girlfriend who had run away with a better man. So he may have sung the kirtan, but his mind was in New York lamenting over the past, where his girlfriend had broken up with him. He always makes it as a joke, you know, that or chanting very romantically or very hopefully or very depressed, according to where the mind is. No mental kirtan, spiritual kirtans we need, no? or just think of a kirtan singer who wants to sing kirtan, but somehow he can't articulate the sounds of the mantra. The body is not in sync. Or he sings another mantra, I need somebody to help or something. Then it's also not kirtan. You need to bring everything together. Everything needs to work together. Everything needs to be aligned, like our example with the sports car. Do I make sense for you? So important. There is a very interesting science, the science of Bharatanatyam, temple dance. Have you seen our talented dancer here in the castle already? Some of you? There is one, Gaura Nataraj, who dances very beautifully. Sometimes he dances also before the day, in the evening kirtans. He comes out and he whirls around. Has he done that? Yeah. Impressive, isn't it? You have seen Bhakti Gamya? Very impressive, isn't it? Yes, I always feel I will join him, but then I don't know. I might fly through the window because of losing the control over the spin. Anyways, he has learned traditional Bharatanatyam dancing. And there is a very interesting verse. It says, where the hand goes, the eye follows. And where the eye follows, or where the eye goes, there is where the mind goes. Therefore, very often those who sing kirtan like to close, at least for some time, their eyes, because they know when their eyes go during the kirtan, somewhere the mind will follow, and then it's almost like as if the wheels are no longer attached to the car and everything. Your kirtan comes out of sync and loses that spiritual focus and energy. No? Also for japa meditation, when we chant about and we focus on a mantra, we don't roam with our eyes around and think, oh, who has just entered the temple doors or the doors of the room, because immediately the attention is disturbed, and where attention goes, energy flows. No, that's a rule. So we want in the kirtan really to be focused and to have a very powerful vibration that can do what we were speaking about yesterday, that is, it can catch hold of the mind, it can tame the mind if you so want, or control it so that it becomes still and we can access deeper levels of our personality and our lives. So before the pause, we will just need to do now one thing. I would like to now help you to align your human endowments, or as they say in Sanskrit, your sadhana sharira, that is your vehicle. The body, mind and heart are a vehicle for spiritual practice. That's a very important word. Sadhana, spiritual practice, and sharira, a vehicle. It needs to be aligned, like our sports car. So, what do we do with the body when we do kirtan? We have three things which we can do with our physical body. The first is a posture. Now, some of you look like Charlie Chaplin in Holidays. Please sit properly. I'm sorry. You know, when we talk in North German language, I notice it's a little bit tough what we say, but it is friendly when we say like this. So don't fear me, please. How do you sit in a good posture? I believe Kshangi Lila must have told us something, isn't it? She has a, let me just, maybe I repeat what she says. Try to sit straight. And for kirtan, it's really good if you open your chest, because we want to bring a lot of oxygen inside the body and also air, so that we can sing really long and fully and broadly and widely, using the body as an instrument. So it needs to sit straight. Let me just help you. I think you all know it really helps to have something. Oh, we were just talking about you, Krishna Lila. I was talking about using the body fully so that it acts as an instrument to bring all the nuances of sounds out. And while we talk about you, you come into the room. This is a pleasant synchronicity. So, I think you all know it helps tremendously to sit with the coccyx, that's where the end of the spine is, a little bit upraised. That is common knowledge, isn't it? Yes, you sit very, very nice. Alicia is good. Do you have something which raises your sacred behind? Yes? Yeah, dobro, good. So then you try to spread out the legs, that they give you good support, almost like a triangle. You sit straight. You have a little bit, it's called a little bent in the back. It's a lordosic bend, it's natural. As you sit, a very nice mudra is this, and the three fingers here. That's an ideal mudra for yogis. Because with the circle here, a good energy circle, a prana is connecting between these two tips, and it's not all going out like here with these three fingers. Stays in. Then, I find this the best way to explain it. You bring your shoulders, please, up to the ears almost, and then roll them back as if you want to let your shoulders blades touch. And do you notice how it opened up your chest is all of a sudden? It's almost a shock for you to see how much space you have created there. Then you tuck in your head a little, not that it is like this, as if it wants to fall on the ground, but it is a little like back, you tuck your shin in, not uncomfortably in the end, and then you sit, and then you relax the body. Yes, don't sit so stiff. You need to relax it, almost as if the body is a shirt that you put on a hanger. This is what we do with the body. We do the posture. And then we do two things. We pronounce with our tongue and we listen with our ears. I want to just chant one mantra, a monosyllable mantra with you. And your task now is to please maintain your open and relaxed but straight physical posture. Kindly maintain it. Then listen to, then pronounce the mantra and listen to the mantra. I will chant one time the Ram mantra, which we have learned yesterday, and then kindly explore, as you are chanting it, the ocean of sound. Just let it be inside of you. First inside. I will give you some instructions. That's easiest. Let us first now chant. I will chant one time alone and then together. Don't do it yet. After you have done Ra, you close the mouth, and then there is a very wonderful humming in the whole body. And you will see how it fills all of your head and then the rest of your body. So don't leave, please, your mouth for a long time open, but close it. I will do it and then we do it together. One more time, I will do it alone. My God, is it good? So now... inhale, and then watch how it resounds inside. Wonderful, you get the idea again. And inside, no? Give yourself entirely to the sound, really. Total concentration. Thank you. And now we will go a little higher and we will hear the sound vibrating outside of us as if it is like an ocean of sound surrounding us. Then you will see how the attention becomes absorbed. I will do it one time alone to give you the sound. I will do it briefly. Some of you need to open up a little bit more. Don't be afraid. Ah. And again, twice, open up a little bit more, surrender in a way. Just remain in silence. Thank you very much. This is what we can do with the body. We have a good posture which enables us to breathe nicely. We have a good pronunciation, that is, we articulate the sound, and then we listen. We listen inside, but we listen also outside. When the body becomes all ears, then it is good kirtan. No? Everything becomes ears. All the sensual abilities which are there invested in the seeing, in the tasting, in the smelling, in the touching, all this becomes for a moment, we don't work with this because we want full attention and our whole power goes to the hearing. Do you know that blind people are often the best singers? Have some of you heard the music of Stevie Wonder? You have heard? He is an old artist, but beautiful, a man of melodies, isn't it? You are familiar also? Very nice. Stevie Wonder is also a little close to us. He once called the devotees who were chanting in Los Angeles on the street. He was so fascinated, he had his driver park the car nearby and just listened to the joyful exclamation of these pure people, these monks, and he requested them to come into his recording studio. They did a fantastic and also very, how do you call it, philosophical song called Pastime Paradise. Beautiful. You hear in the back the devotees chanting Hare Krishna in the chorus. It's something you might like to listen to. So Stevie Wonder was born as Phil Morris, and he would always sit in the back of the classroom as a little boy, and he couldn't see anything. He was really stark blind, and the teacher, a very nice teacher, saw that he is this little boy just sadly wasting away, not being able to follow his friends to the schoolyard and run and play ball and all of this. And he took compassion. He thought, I must give him a sense of value that he doesn't feel devalued. So in this classroom, there was one mouse problem. The mouse would always come and make sounds and eat in the walls. And the little boys and girls would giggle and not concentrate on the class of what was going on, as children are doing. So the teacher then had an idea. He said, Phil, we need your help. You know, we need to find out where the mice are going, and then we put something in the tunnels which they have dig, dark, and then they will see, okay, we humans have found their ways, and they will go somewhere else, maybe, hopefully. So can you help us to identify where are the pathways or the tunnels of the mice in the wall? So immediately little Phil was up his... With the help of a friend, he went to the wall and he just listened. And all his power, which was not working through the ears, was going in the ears, and he could, after some time, map a whole, you know, the whole traffic lanes of the mice. He could map them down, and then the mice problem could be tackled in a good way. So he continued to develop his hearing, which he understood was more developed than that of normal people, because the power of the other senses would go into the hearing. In Kirtan, we also do this. It's really all about pronouncing the sound and then hearing yourself chanting. It's catching the sound, which is important. My spiritual master was once asked, how do we do best kirtan? And he said, just try to listen to yourself chant sincerely. A nice formula. Just try to listen to yourself. So it's really in the beginning all about listening to your own sound. Then, which is inside. Then you can go outside and listen to the sound which is produced by everyone else. And then you're really absorbed in the ocean of sound vibration. Yes. So this is what we do with the body. It means the tongue, the ears, and the whole body if we sit properly. You might find it nice to, from time to time, as we do this session, we have only two short points and then there is a pause, to correct your physical posture so that it becomes natural for you to sit properly. And soon we will make a pause and we can walk around normally. So what do we do with the mind? The mind. Everyone always talks about my mind, my monkey mind. And my dear people, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives such a very nice text about mind control. He says, from wherever the mind goes due to its restless nature, from there one should bring it back to the self. I have a friend who had a very temperamental dog. And he had a modern leash, you know, it was a thing which could go out really long, I don't know, really long, 20 meters or 30 meters. But when there was danger coming up, another more bulky dog, more eater of small dogs, also, he would somehow leash his dog in. So our mind is a little bit like a dog. It runs, and when you see it, you need it for the kirtan, just haul it in as if it is a dog on the leash. He will enjoy it. In the beginning, he will protest a little, but he will enjoy it because you have something good for it, the sound vibration of the kirtan. So the mind must be always hauled in. There is a text which says, even an expert yogi will keep his mind with him because he knows it can fly out any moment. And then analogy is given. If you have a parrot in a cage, don't leave the door open. It will fly out and be gone forever. So keep the mind and just bring it always back to the sound vibration. But therefore, it is so important that you create a good sound vibration. Therefore, sit properly, open your chest, put your whole human endowment, your whole body to the chanting, pronounce properly, listen, and now comes the mind. Bring it to the present moment. I don't know how you are when we chant this Ram. It's a powerful sound, isn't it? Are you slightly frightened? Or slightly overwhelmed by it? Or is it all right? Yeah? But Hari, how is it for you?
It's powerful.
Powerful? Yeah, can you let yourself go into the sound? Yeah? Good. Any one of you has any difficulty? I'm just asking because sometimes this really gets deep and some of us have maybe a psychology like Swiss cheese. You know, holes, traumatized and everything. So sometimes this can be really powerful. You are all right with it. Yeah, you look all healthy and integrated. I saw people snap out. It was almost too much voltage for them. But no problem. Because now we will enter a deeper dimension. Ooh. What we will do is we will try to be totally present with the sound. There will be no wall between us and the sound. We just try to be totally there in the present moment. And I have seen when one can do it, it takes a little exercise. I do this obviously with a Maha Mantra, which we have talked about yesterday. There is just such a wonderful experience. It is a divine energy which is there, which totally transforms us. There's the poet Kabir, he says, "Okay, you kirtan singer, continue to ring your bells, light your incense, and call out the divine names. But then don't be surprised when he comes. And he will take you into his forge." Now, is that an English word? Forge is the blacksmith's work.
Forge,
yes. It's the workshop of a smith. And he will put you on his anvil. And he will take his hammer, the big one, because he wants to change ordinary lead into gold. This is how powerful the divine sound can be. But we need to be present to it. We need to enter it or let it enter us totally. So I will request you again to sit properly. And this time our exercise will be to be entirely present and see that somehow it resonates through our entire being. It really is something like surrendering to the sound or opening ourselves entirely to the sound vibration. Om. times or four times now. Breathe in, and at the end, create a nice humming sound by closing the lips. We will do three more now. Wonderful. And now three rams. Let us sit in silence for a short time. Thank you very, very much. We will just end the session. I request you to turn to a neighbor and just tell your neighbor what you have understood from this session so far. We will do the heart thing, the last thing, the heart as a seat of spirituality, after the pause. And then we will do a beautiful, very, very soft exercise. But for now, please turn to your neighbor and just share what you have understood from the session so far. I will sit with Badahari Prabhu. Please start now.